This is SQPN, the StarQuest Production Network, leading the way.
This episode of The Secrets of Once Upon a Time is brought to you by, well, you, the listener. We're currently in the final stages of our Lenten giving campaign, and you can go over to sqpn.com/donate if you want to contribute. You can sign up for a monthly micro payment. That's a very substantial, great way to support us on a more consistent base, or you can help us out with a one-time gift. Small, slightly bigger, very big, anything helps really to pay the bills and to help us continue to make these programs. Thank you so much in advance for your support. Again, sqpn.com/donate. We appreciate your help and your support.
The thing I want to talk to you about is the reason Tamara was getting her stuff is that she's on her way here.
Here? As in Storybrooke?
Yeah, she should be here at Granny's any minute now.
What are you thinking?
What do you mean?
I mean, what are you going to tell her when she sees a giant or a werewolf run past her down Main Street? Between Greg Mendel, our food-obsessed tourist, and now your fiancé, this town is turning into a theme park.
Maybe I didn't think it all the way through. I'm sorry. I need her.
Welcome back once again for a new episode of The Secrets of Once Upon a Time, and today we will be talking about the episode Selfless, Brave, and True. Pinocchio episode, or is it? Or is it a Tamara episode? Or is it an Emma episode? Or is it a Snow White episode? There's so many people involved in this episode. And also, fortunately for me, a lot of great co-hosts today that are involved in the production of this podcast. Shelley and Lisa from Texas. Hey, good morning. Is it still morning or is it afternoon?
It is still morning with us, Father.
It is.
Oh, nice.
We're having a beautiful, beautiful spring day. So it is a good day.
Excellent. Send some of those temperatures our way because it's still very cold. Way too cold, don't you think, Inge? It's winter temperatures in the Netherlands. Inge has muted herself and so she's now talking, but we can't hear her.
I'm sorry.
No problem.
Yeah, we have those polar winds, which make it feel like 4 degrees Fahrenheit sometimes. But we have sunny weather and blue skies, but yeah, too bad for the wind.
Yesterday, I felt like Pinocchio, and my legs were freezing. It's just horrible. David is also joining us. David, so glad you could be on the show.
I'm glad to be here.
And excellent.
We're a little bit warmer than you, at least.
Oh, well, we'll get warm just discussing and debating about Once Upon a Time. But before we continue our analysis of Selfless, Brave, and True, I had some bad news. And that is the next episode of Once Upon a Time is going to be somewhere at the end of April.
Yep. April 21st.
Yes. What are they thinking? Why is that? I mean, Easter, but that doesn't take 3 weeks. Is that, is
does
there
that have something to do with all that basketball stuff?
Oh, good Lord. Not again. Can't you guys just abolish sports in the United States? I mean, really? You've got basketball. If it's not basketball, it's a football. If it's not football, it's what's
baseball.
That other thing you guys
baseball.
Do? Baseball. Yeah. If it's not baseball, it's what? It's presidential elections. Come on, cut it out. Give us a
I'm
break.
I'm a basketball fan. We can do away with that.
Yeah. But you can record those things and watch them.
No March Madness for us.
Why can't they just air that in the morning or something like that? So everybody's watching that stuff while they're on, you know, supposed to work anyway. So
it goes back to ratings, and I think the basketball games are pulling out slightly higher ratings right now.
Well, Once Upon a Time is doing bad in the ratings.
It is. It's going down. And Inge, you asked around on Twitter, you asked our audience, you know, why do you think that the show is doing so badly right now?
Yeah, we are on Twitter. We are Once Upon a Time PC on Twitter, if you want to follow us. And I saw this episode hit an all-time low in a rating of 2.1. And the previous episode was 2.3. That was the lowest.
Is that million rate. People or what is that?
I don't know exactly what 2.1 means, but it's kind of bad.
Okay.
And so I asked this on the Twitter page. So why do you think people don't tune in to Once Upon a Time anymore? Mm-hmm. And KJ Musings responded to us and said, there are too many new characters, inconsistencies, and the redemption of everybody, but Regina don't help. And the writers could ask us why.
Hmm.
So that's But I also saw in response to some blog post that many people have the same feeling about this, that too many characters, For example, this episode, we haven't seen gold at all.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Oh, we didn't miss him at all.
He wasn't really necessary for the story, but I can relate to that. I remember that when I skipped that 1 week that I was in the Vatican, and then I watched the two episodes for last week's show, it was just overwhelming. There was just so much going on and so many people, so many different relationships. And so I was like, wait, what happened to him again? And why is he saying that? And it was just very, very difficult to really get a grip of what was going on. And it felt like some of the middle seasons of Lost, where you had that same problem. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Too many characters, yep. Too many mysteries, not enough resolutions. And just for some reason, not enough focus in the episodes. It's like they're just consisting of too many ingredients. I'd rather have one story that is just about what happened to Pinocchio. Just spend some more time on that. I think that would be easier to watch and more fun to watch than right now, where you have so many other side stories that if you miss an episode, and I think a lot of people are now kind of dropping off and they're not watching anymore, but even if they would come back, they wouldn't be able to step in the story anymore, because so much happens in every episode. Mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting to see how many people catch up over the summer, because for us, when the new episodes are over in the summer, they usually release it on DVD.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, or on Netflix or Amazon or wherever you get your streaming. And so it'll be interesting to see how, because that's what I did, like with Downton Abbey. I couldn't start in the middle, so I started during the summer when I could get everything on DVD or on Netflix and just got all caught up so that I could start watching. And I wonder how that's going to translate if people are going to do that over the summer.
And I have another comment too about ratings. I pulled up while we're talking. And the number one rated show was the NCAA basketball overrun and then into 60 Minutes. So people then stayed on CBS and watched The Amazing Race. And that's where the highest viewers were. So Once Upon a Time still had 7.3 million viewers. And that's live.
That's not bad.
That's not including people who were watching it on Monday or Tuesday on ABC. Or I'm sorry.
Right.
It's a CBS show, isn't it? Oh, no, it's an ABC show. I'm sorry.
ABC.
ABC.com, you know, because this doesn't take into account people who can watch it streaming.
True.
Or people who tape it on their DVR, which we do.
It doesn't include DVR, and we watch on DVR.
I don't think we need to worry.
If they're confused about the number of characters, then they are not listening to our podcast.
That's it.
They need to listen to our podcast. They'll be all caught up. They'll go back. They'll watch the show. They'll be fascinated by all these little things we keep talking
about.
There's
a very simple way for ABC to solve this ratings problem, and it's just sponsor our show, and we will solve it for you.
There you go.
Just a little bit of magic.
Yeah.
All right, enough. We're just a podcast. We're having fun, and I have to say that this episode was a little bit simpler to follow for me. At least, and I kind of liked it. And so let's first talk about August and the Dragon, and I've got a sound clip I want to play first.
Tell me, why have you come?
You see that?
No, because the problem is with your other leg. You're turning to wood, Pinocchio.
How in the hell do you know my name? Who are you? Are you from my land?
August, you're in pain. Waste your energy not on me, but on your affliction. All you need to worry about is whether I can help you. And the answer is, indeed I can.
So we're in Hong Kong in 2011. We get some flashbacks of the itinerant life that Pinocchio lived before he returned to Storybrooke. And we also see that he speaks fluently some strange language. Was it Thai?
Assume it's Thai. It's in Thailand.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. It sounded very convincing. But he's going to this dragon, and someone finds him. That was a bit confusing. So at one point, taken aside, actually. He's at the hospital, destroying the entire hospital. Not very smart if you want to get help. And then he gets pulled aside by this other Chinese guy. We don't get introduced. We don't know how he knows that August is in need of let's say supernatural help. So that's very mysterious. And then he gets introduced to this dragon, who seems to be this mysterious oriental wonder doctor who says, yeah, I can help you for the right price. And then, of course, it's the classic, a bit cliche thing that, you know, I can help you with the symptoms, but you will have to cure yourself. It's very zen.
did you catch the Lost reference?
No.
So the wooden leg kicks in at 8:15 sharp.
Oh, did it really?
They said it several times. It's only 8:15.
Oh, wow. I totally missed that. Nice.
And I was mixing it up with the episode. I had to go back and look it up. It was an episode titled 7:15. And that, if you remember, was the episode where Snow and Mary Margaret Coffee. And David kept showing up at the same time to accidentally see each other and Granny for coffee.
8:15. Well, who is this dragon guy? I mean, he is clearly a magical character. Do you think he's a reference to a specific fairy tale character or something from a book?
Well, they said they were going to go outside the norm or the cultural fairy tales that we're used to. So maybe there is maybe a Chinese fairy tale. That he's from that we're not familiar with.
I was
is that one of the dragons from Mulan or
Yeah, well, true. What about that little Eddie Murphy voice?
Eddie Murphy dragon.
Oh yeah.
Where's Deborah when we need her?
Oh, that would be terrible. You don't know who I really am. I'm actually Eddie Murphy.
I was waiting for him to become who he really was.
I bet you they couldn't pay the price for to get Eddie Murphy, so they just killed him off before he could turn into the small dragon. Oh, very strange.
Second or third time we've seen the Asian influence because of Mulan.
I was wondering. So we are now driven to an Oriental vibe in this series. So does it mean that we get to see what's up with Mulan and Aurora because they are still off looking for that wraith or how to get Philip back? Mm-hmm. We haven't heard about that since a long time.
Yeah.
The thing that intrigued me most was how on earth does the dragon know that he's Pinocchio?
Yes, yes.
I was thinking of a Men in Black type scenario where there's in the movie Men in Black, there's this secret organization that monitors and tracks all alien life on the planet Earth. And I was thinking that it's almost like there's this little society group that kind of keeps track of all the magical elements that have spilled over into our world. Just because we can't easily go into see their world doesn't mean that they're not here. Clearly, we've got Storybrooke here, we've got the dragon here, we've got Pinocchio running around the world. Mm-hmm. So why not? I mean, Tamara actually made a reference to how rare magic is in our world, so rare that most people think it's fiction. She clearly knows it's not. Mm-hmm. That was the flash that went through my head. There's a Men in Black.
So kind of the Illuminati, but then different?
Mm-hmm.
That would be an interesting development if she's not just an evil witch or something, but that there is more going on, like a secret society or something. She's definitely one of the most intriguing new characters, I have to say.
Yeah.
And very surprising that she is bad. She's evil. I didn't see that coming.
And here last week, I'm all, she's Tinkerbell or she's Tiger Lily. No. Now it's like, really?
She's really not Tinkerbell now.
No. Yeah. She sparkles, but in kind of a different way.
I'm extra convinced she's Ursula now with that thing that was not a taser, according to Jane Espenson. She tweeted during the when it was aired that the thing was not a taser, and I was like,
of course it's not
a taser because it's eels.
Taser don't kill people.
Like a stun gun turned up to 11.
So you think it's like an electrical eel that is hidden inside that device, or?
Well, it's kind of our world version of the eels Ursula uses. Because I'm just getting stubborn, and I'm just my gut feeling just says that Tamara is Ursula. And I, also, for the sake of being contrary, I just stick with that she's Ursula.
Yeah, I have to disagree with you, and here's my reasons why. If I were writing the show, she wouldn't be Ursula, but she would have taken that taser, that piece of magic from Ursula. That's how I would write it if I were doing this. I would say set it up in some way that she's clearly going around the world tracking down bits and pieces of magic. She was there to get whatever she could from the dragon, maybe even take his magic from him. So it would stand to reason that she's kind of been collecting artifacts or collecting items of magical import, you know, that have magic.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what she's using is a magical artifact or item that she's already taken. Maybe she's already killed Ursula.
Hold on. Taken this. I've got an idea. She's collecting stuff, right? Collecting artifacts. There is a Disney character that has to do with Ursula that is also very keen on collecting lots of stuff.
She's not Ariel.
Why not? There's a letter A in her name as well.
Ariel the evil? Oh, no.
No, but there has to be... hear me out. Every character, even the evil ones, need a reason for what they do. There needs to be a motive. So why is she hunting down every single person that has magic? Because she needs that magic. What does she need it for? She goes to see the dragon saying, hey, I've got cancer. She doesn't have cancer. But what if she does have a medical problem? Let's say, for instance, she can't swim anymore. And she wants to go back. And she needs magic.
I got it. She's the granddaughter of Ariel.
Because she mentioned a grandmother.
They did stress that twice. The picture of her. And she had to use a personal item that mm-hmm. she, you know, one of those personal items that really meant something. I mean, from Pinocchio, he took the string that animated him.
Which was very cool, by the way, as an idea.
With a whale attached to it.
Right. So that picture has got to be something that is a part of her soul.
Mm-hmm.
And the picture was her and her grandmother. Now I'm wishing I'd paused it and looked a little closer at the picture. I thought they were just using the picture to tie in August realizing that she's the one that killed the dragon. But now, what if she's Ursula's granddaughter?
Hmm.
Okay, here's the thing. So if the dragon knew who Pinocchio was, he didn't realize that she didn't really have cancer?
He knew.
He
later on says before when she returns with a mm-hmm. final magic that so why did you lie about having cancer?
Well, right. So why did he even let her get that far? I mean, I guess
that's the question. Sent her away. He sent her away and had Pinocchio come in, and then she came back to confront him.
Okay, that's right. We didn't see her original with him.
No. We just know she left the picture, so he knew who she was. That's my guess.
The picture is just, you know, just a random grandmother. I didn't recognize her. It didn't ring a bell. Like the only thing that when I first saw Tamara in the show, I had a very brief moment where I thought, hey, she looks like that princess from The Princess and the Frog.
What is her name?
She's, I wrote it down.
Tiana?
Somewhere. Tiana?
Think so.
Where is Deborah? I've written it. Where is it? I should make better notes. But anyway, because of her accent, she seems to be from the same area. Now, of course, I'm from outside the U.S., but it sounds to me like she has a kind of a New Orleans vibe to her.
She's got a very unique look. It's a very striking look.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Doesn't she have a New Orleans accent? Or I don't recognize
really
that.
Catch
stuff.
That.
I know.
Okay.
Well, what I came across was another theory about who she is, mm-hmm. and they also took a side by side picture of Tamara and wait for it, the fairy godmother of Cinderella. So if you go over to the Once Upon a Time website, I posted that picture there. And the theory of one fan, mm-hmm. His name is Zach, is that because of the striking similarity in how they look, is that maybe the grandmother is the fairy godmother of Cinderella, and in the beginning of this season, Regina and Mr. Gold go to the mines to catch all the magic there from the fairy dust
mm-hmm.
with a wand of a dead fairy. No one mourns her, he says very explicitly.
Oh.
And they never say something without dropping a bomb without picking it up later.
Oh.
So apparently someone mourns that dead fairy godmother, and maybe that's Tamara. So the whole theory, I link to the whole theory.
I like that theory.
On that website.
Yeah. The only problem that I have with it is that it is a theory really very, very geeky. I mean, if they would explain that to us in the series or show us, I mean, I think most people would like wait, who, what? The granddaughter of who?
Oh, right.
And it's not it's not big enough. You need to have, like, you want to paint these stories with broad strokes. And so it has to be a character that everybody knows. It's like, why didn't I see that coming? Like Pinocchio, you know, the moment we discovered it was him. It's like, duh, of course. And
yeah, and I have that with Ursula. And I'm sorry, I'm sticking to my theory. Because she's collecting stuffs of magic, but she also could be in search of this magical trident. Isn't Ursula all after the magical trident?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe this is a version of trying to find a magical trident.
I'm saying Ariel, because they promised us that we would see Ariel.
Father, I just looked it up, and she is from, at least she went to college in Alabama.
Oh, okay.
Well. So which is the South.
What's her name?
Okay.
What's her name?
Yeah, the actress, what's her name?
I already clicked on another page. Soniqua Martin Green.
Okay, it's not the same girl who played the fairy godmother in that episode, The Price of Gold.
No, but the theory says that she's the granddaughter or granddaughter of that fairy, because their facial face is almost the same. If you
do.
So the idea is that the fairy, instead of dying, the fairy godmother got blasted to Earth or something.
Well, the writers of the series never wanted to say if you are born a fairy or become a fairy by choice.
Mm-hmm.
And they seem to be deliberate in leaving that up in the middle.
Okay.
So maybe we will get something.
It's like becoming a nun, basically. You choose to become
one. Yeah,
well,
the fairies in our world, so in Storybrooke, are nuns.
Yes.
So maybe you become a fairy in a fairy tale land by choosing to be
interesting.
A fairy.
Well, we'll see. Let's talk about one line, which was amazing. I don't know if you caught it, but there's this discussion, I think it's with Emma and Snow White, or no, between Emma and Bale. All these people are coming to Storybrooke. Tamara is coming to Storybrooke. You've got Greg Mendel, food-obsessed tourists, and your fiancé. Next thing they're going to see are giants in Main Street. This town is turning into a theme park.
That was so funny.
That was the intro.
Brilliant.
Oh, and right after that, that was our first real clue about who Tamara was going to turn out to be. Because she's telling her, you know, I'm not the one you're lying to. Did you tell her who you really are? And then the phone rings or something, or a text message comes through, and he looks down and he says, it's her. And I looked at my husband and I said, it's her.
Wow,
they just told
I missed
her
that.
Tomorrow.
Oh,
and
I didn't get
Greg
that.
Mendel,
nice.
It's her. And I think in the last week or week before, we were talking about Tron Legacy last week. And I said, remember in Tron, there's always a girl.
Yeah.
Oh.
That
yeah.
helps. So I was wondering.
Well,
I didn't see it coming that way. But.
At least we now know who her is, and that it was indeed a female person, and that she is in cahoots with Greg. Who would have known that?
Yeah, poor Neil.
And, of course, Greg Mendel is now also spotted by Regina, and we get that first conversation. We wondered if they ever met. Well, here they are.
I'm here because I realize why you look so familiar to me. It's because we have met before, haven't we? Owen, you could have come to me, Owen. You could have told me who you were and why you're here.
I think you know why I'm here.
I honestly don't.
I'm looking for my father.
Your father? He left shortly after you did. I never saw him again.
I don't believe you.
Be that as it may, it's the truth.
People don't just disappear, Regina. I'm not leaving without my father.
I'm afraid you are. Because he's not.
Shh.
I'll let Granny know that you'll be checking out tomorrow.
Or what?
Contrary to what you might think, people can't just disappear.
So, Greg Mendel and Regina, and she's not as nice as to him as she was back then, when he was still a little boy. And you can tell that Greg is... very distant from Regina, which is totally understandable.
Yeah.
Mm. I think that
I'd be a little more hostile.
Yes. Well, she probably has to do with him losing his father.
Yeah.
What to think about this whole explanation from Regina? I was like, sometimes people just disappear and he's not here anymore. Do you believe her?
No,
Well, he might have disappeared, but that I'm not going to say it wasn't her doing.
David, what do you think? Are we going to see his father?
I think we've got to. Hopefully there'll be a flashback episode or something because he's got to be somewhere. I keep picturing him in the same hospital that Belle was in. I mean, I know he's not there, but she said that, you know, Storybrooke is bigger than you know. So, I mean, it's possible he just couldn't get out.
I'm just thinking if he is a reference to the Tron movie, then perhaps he's stuck somewhere in a loop or something, like almost in suspense, and he'll have to be liberated from that. So,
well, like in Tron Legacy, that Flynn was just, you know, he was hanging out at the edge of the system. Mm. So, and that was my other thought was when we first saw that camper. If I hadn't known Pinocchio was going to be there, I would have thought that Flynn was going to be there.
Yeah.
It's like, who? And they said it was an abandoned trailer. Who abandoned it? I mean, could it have been Flynn? Yeah. And now that the curse is broken, he's roaming around. Or
yeah, it was quite convenient for that van to all of a sudden be there, and nobody had spotted it before.
Looked quite old.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So who abandoned it? It's, you know, we know most. I think you'd like to think that Storybrooke knows most of its town people now. So I was wondering if that used to be Flynn's, and now he's just prowling around.
Could be.
I thought of the same thing that David's talking about, the tie-in with Tron and Flynn.
Mm-hmm.
But I hadn't put that much thought into it yet.
It's going to be interesting to see if he will show up. But I don't believe Regina, but I still don't really understand her attitude. I mean, she wants to get rid of him, clearly. But why? She must sense that he is dangerous. And at the end of the episode, we discover he is. He's clearly, well, I guess after Regina, or he wants revenge, or he wants his father back, and so he is teaming up with Tamara. Although you can wonder if he knows that she's playing him, because that's what I think is happening.
I don't know. But honestly, surprised, didn't she? Your father? I mean, I don't know. Maybe she's a really good actor. She just seemed really surprised, and that threw me for a loop.
Regina?
Yeah, I figured she'd jump out there with a smart comment, you know, as soon as he brought it up.
I was wondering if Carlisle, Pennsylvania was a Lost reference, since I didn't see the show. Why throw in that when she said he looked oddly familiar, and he says, mm-hmm, not unless you've been hanging around Carlisle, Pennsylvania. I mean, they don't drop those kind of names and things without it meaning something later.
Good point. I've not seen anything about it.
I think she just hasn't thought about him in so many years because he just reawakened the whole, why am I not a mother? Why do I not have this unconditional love from a child? And that's what led her to get Henry many years later. It's been 30 years. She hasn't. It looks like she really hasn't thought twice about him. And, oh, you, huh? Your dad? Yeah. I don't. Gosh, what did I do with him?
That was 400 schemes ago.
I don't think they are showing us much of what is truly going on and what Greg's motives are, but it's definitely more than just, oh, I'm just looking for my father. He must have a plan. Otherwise, you know, it doesn't explain his behavior with filming everything and then calling up Regina himself. I mean, there's still some strange motive that I can't put my finger on.
Well, and he's connected to Tamara, so something. We know she's got to have a motive and a reason for being there. And she's using, my theory, she's using him to get to this magic.
That's
my
what I thought too.
My kids honestly think that they're in love and it's pure. And I'm like, oh, really, guys?
I don't think so.
Your kids are young.
I know. They see that she was using August. But they were like, no. And I'm like, no, guys, really, she's using him.
Why get rid of August if he's not onto something? If he's onto her, he knows something. And the line that he said is, are you and Neil here for the magic?
Yeah.
Are you trying to take the magic from Storybrooke? Mm-hmm.
He knows
she
more.
She says, Neil has nothing to do with this.
Yes,
exactly.
And then she says, Neil.
Yeah.
Then she says, do we have a deal? And
that
was huge. I was like, mm-hmm, do we have a deal? Okay, wait, you don't say deal unless you're talking about Mr. Gold. You don't make deals with gold.
Oh, interesting. Could they be somehow related to gold?
Kinds of wicked deals as well. people. Mm-hmm. I have to come back with my Ursula thing.
It's true. Sign on the line.
Ursula.
Tamara. I screw up her name, but I mean, mm-hmm. you'd like to think that taser or whatever the heck it is, it has to be more than just an actual, electrical device, because it worked on a wooden guy. Electricity's not supposed to work on a wooden guy.
And tasers don't kill
Maybe
normally.
Spark a fire or something, but
I thought they would have a catch on fire. I really did. I did too.
I fully expected him to be like, "Are you serious? Did you just try to taser a wooden guy?" But no, it actually worked. So
it looked like a very vicious taser. So perhaps it's just like an illegal model that you bought somewhere. But so Tamara is very dangerous, and yet she plays the innocent girlfriend of Bill. This is the first time that I've ever seen take out bagels. Is that something like specific for Storybrooke or Canada, or is that something that
you guys do? New York thing.
Really?
New York bagels are a New York thing, but we haven't found.
Because she had like salmon, and she had all kinds of weird stuff.
Yeah,
we don't do that in Texas. We just put cream cheese on it. And we're cool.
salmon. I've seen. Yeah, New York. Yes.
Okay, well that makes sense because that's where she's from, of course. So it's probably just a New York reference.
And I thought there was a whole spread. Yeah, and that struck me as very odd.
I mean, it looked like Chinese takeout instead of Chinese. It was bagels.
Well, because she's bringing bagels. And I'm like, why bagels? Why not donuts? Or kolaches or something.
Nathan's hot dogs.
Well, then she goes, of course, to back to the dragon and kills him. I've got a sound clip here.
I've been searching for someone like you for a very long time.
For magic.
It's rare in this world. So rare, most would say it's fiction.
But not you.
Not me. The liquid in this bottle doesn't contain a single element found in this world. Can you explain that?
What I create is not from this world, because the people who need my help suffer from affliction that science cannot treat.
I paid for what's in this bottle. But now that I have it, I can't risk anyone else finding you. It was nice meeting you.
And smoke comes out of his ears, and that's not just because of the taser. This clip, by the way, for me is an indication that Tamara is not a fairy tale character, because she says that she's been analyzing that stuff in the bottle and there's nothing in it. Almost a very scientific approach. And that there's another point where she denies being a magical character when she speaks with Pinocchio. Now, of course, she could be lying, or this could be part of perhaps a bigger plot element that they're trying to bring in. And this, I kind of like that idea of a secret society that is perhaps trying to get a grip on this magic and use it for whatever other purpose, but that she's not a fairy tale character. But that's just a hunch that I have. I mean, I don't know.
They really left it open for us, didn't
they? Why would she not immediately say, I mean, she's going to kill the guy anyway. So she could say, hey, I'm being Ursula, I totally know what this is. But instead she's like, no, we did some scientific DNA tests on this, and this is absolutely not from this planet.
Well, and if she's doing scientific tests on her own in Hong Kong, I mean, really? My thought, to me, that means she's working with either a group or another person, because she just randomly, let me just go borrow a lab. I mean, it was kind of a...
And also the most sophisticated technology known to mankind.
Mm-hmm,
so it's not a random lab either.
And she just happened to have several thousand dollars of, in her purse. And
yes.
Not only did he take it, she wasn't really all that broken up by losing the money. She killed the dragon, and she didn't look around for the money anything. She just walked away.
You're right.
So she did it on purpose so that he would get it and she could take it from him. And what was fascinating to me is that we're watching it and she's showing she whips out that big wad of cash to pay for the thing. And I went, I know where this is going. Yeah. And then she walks away and leaves it hanging out of her purse. You're like, yeah, because people do that.
The only thing she seemed surprised about was that he needed a personal item. So that for whatever reason, she didn't know about that. She went in there. She was trying to get something from him. She was refused. She set it up so that Pinocchio August would take it and go and that this would happen. So she's fascinating. And Father, you asked kind of why she wouldn't just spout it out right there in front of the dragon or even August later. And that is because we, the viewers, are not meant to know yet. They've got something planned down the road and they're going to leave this hanging until they get around to where they want us to figure it out and tie it up. So, but here's another question I have for you. So while we're still talking about Tamara, where is Hook?
That's
in the very beginning.
Question.
He says Hook wasn't in the storage room. Well, now that we know who Tamara is, this wouldn't be the first time that Hook could charm his way out of a tight spot.
So and she has helped him.
Does she know who Hook is? I mean, how many?
I'm hoping she just tasered him. I'm hoping she just tasered him.
In New York City, he might not stand out a whole lot. You know, a guy walk around with a hook and eyeliner. I mean,
he looks like he just came off a Broadway production of something. But Hook can get his way out of all kinds of tight spots. And I wouldn't be surprised at all if they had a conversation before she came to Storybrooke. And he's working in cahoots with her to get what he wants, which is to get back to Storybrooke. That's right. So I was not at all dismissed by the whole Hook wasn't in the storage room. Well, I mean, what do you think? He's just running around New York.
I think he's making his way back, but
how? Because he doesn't have a ship.
Yeah, but there's a bus.
Do you see a guy with a hook and eye and guy liner sitting in the bus?
In New York?
In
New York, yeah.
Hey, even popes take the bus nowadays, so.
That's right.
Maybe she drove him and she let him out just outside of town.
I thought of that too after the fact, that he could have ridden back with her. And, I mean, they would never know.
I really like that theory.
How did Tamara know where Storybrooke was if it's not on the map?
Well, I'm sure he told her when he said, you know, when he said, hey, come visit me.
Yeah.
You know, he would have told her how to get there.
It's probably on the map. Maybe it's on the map now. I'm not sure how Google Earth would just explain that one away. But
I think the problem is that everybody was using the former Apple map application and that didn't have Storybrooke, and then they updated it, and you can find it. I don't know.
Because every time they try to use Apple Maps, they just ended up in a field.
This episode is not sponsored by Apple.
But it also made me wonder about Greg, because you see in a previous episode that he comes back to Storybrooke with cops, and he says, well, it was right here. And then the cops said, well, boy, there's nothing to see. You see Regina on the other side of the magical wand bubble across the thing. So I was like, okay, so apparently Greg is very desperate to find Storybrooke back. So maybe desperate enough to bump into Tamara and therefore this way strike a deal, some sort of deal with her. So in order,
he brought her to Storybrooke, perhaps.
Yeah,
it's possible. There's one character that we need to talk about now, and that's Pinocchio.
There's still hope. We need the Blue Fairy.
I'm here, Henry. What does Henry mean?
I was able to turn Pinocchio into a real boy after he sacrificed his life for Marco's. If his actions today were indeed brave, truthful, and unselfish, then you're right. There's a chance I can do it again.
Please, I beg of you, try.
Father?
Pinocchio. Look. Look.
I'm a real boy. I'm a real boy.
One of the best elements of this episode in terms of the story, I thought, was the parallel between the fate of August, Pinocchio, and Mary Margaret, Snow White. They both are yearning for redemption. And when we saw Mary Margaret last time giving up, and still at the beginning of this episode, she's still kind of in bed and depressed and doesn't want to eat bagels. There is something that kind of wakes her up when she sees someone else giving up hope, August. And he's like, you know, I messed it up. There's no way back. And she's, there has to be a way back. And she's merely talking to herself, of course. And that is why she is so crushed when it seems that August lost a battle and he's dead and there is no hope. I mean, you can see her reactions like, this can't be. There has to be a second chance. He deserves a second chance. And it's almost as if she's saying that to herself. You know, I deserve a second chance. But we also see some strange behavior of her when she's with Geppetto.
Yeah.
And she hits him.
Well, he's apologizing.
And then she says, this isn't me. Wow, I was like, that's almost as if you're possessed, lady.
Gollum,
that black spot is apparently something so foreign to you that you don't have any control over it, which makes her very dangerous. If this is something that is growing, which some characters seem to indicate that this is only, at least Regina, that was kind of her thing, or was it Cora? It's like, this will only go stronger and stronger and it will take over. That's going to be scary because if they're hinting at her turning to the dark side or something taking possession of her, she might become a very dangerous lady because she knows how to handle a bow and arrow.
Yeah, it also reminded me, I just joked about Sméagol and Gollum, but there's this fairy tale of, I don't know if it's really a fairy tale, but this is a novel, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Mm-hmm. So this person is by daylight a medical doctor who saves lives, and by night he's a murderer. So maybe they tie in that as well.
It could be.
That would be interesting.
They seem to indicate that instead of assuming her mistake, it is almost as if it is becoming like a foreign object in her that can take over. Almost as if you read in psychology, what sometimes happens with people that go through severe trauma, they kind of set that apart and it becomes like almost a separate identity, and people can split up their conscience into multiple personalities. And that's actually, you know, you get the multiple personality syndrome. And sometimes these personalities can take over if they feel that the person is in danger or, you know. And so it's almost as if Snow White is experiencing something like that, as if instead of really assuming what she has done, she has set it apart. And thereby, actually, she makes it much more dangerous because she has no control over it.
But
they make a mention many, many times in this episode that Emma says it first, at the end of the day, Mary Margaret, she's the only one who can help herself. Mm-hmm. And then later the dragon says for August, the only thing is you have to, it's something you have to do, which you have to save yourself. And August later tells Tamar, only I can cure it, not magic, not science, just me. So here when she hits Geppetto, Marco, she says it's almost like I'm not myself, but I wonder if what she's done has opened that door. And when, you know, it's kind of like, you know, once we sin, we continue down. It's very easy. Everybody talks about that slippery slope. Mm-hmm. Well, she did it without even thinking about it. She didn't mean to do it. It was an emotion that just burst out of her. I could have gone with her. And he's trying to apologize, and just all that pent up anger and hurt just popped out of her, and she punched him, and then she's just horrified that she would do such a thing because she's been so pure in the past. She's never done anything like that before.
Except for the time when she took, they had her heart, it wasn't her heart, but it was, you know, her love for Charming taken out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, she took the potion to forget that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So kind of like she's acting like that randomly. I hate to make a Star Wars reference, but there's kind of like a dark side of the Force thing. Once you forever will it dominate your path.
There you go.
But there is still good in her.
She can cure herself.
Mm-hmm. That's the only thing she can do.
The dragon said the body has a strange way of sending us signals. Mm-hmm. The tricky part isn't hearing them, but knowing what they truly mean. Well, this is her body sending her a signal. So she knows, oops, this is something wrong. But does she know what it truly means, and can she cure herself on it?
Good point. She will have to go through the same process as August and acknowledge that she needs to turn around. She needs to, I don't know, ask for forgiveness. What did you think of the confession of Geppetto? I mean, that's a pretty.
It was kind of a. What do you call it? It didn't have as big a punch as I thought it would.
Felt tacked on.
Well, yes. Yeah.
That should have been like, we have to get this out of the way, so let's just throw it in here real fast.
Could right.
Be. I thought they'd have a big reaction to it.
I mean, you feel for the guy because it's just so loving and so really, he just wanted to save his son. And yeah, you understand that. But
I was hoping for a much bigger moment, though, when they admitted. I thought August was going to confess to Mary Margaret that he went through and that I didn't realize it would be Marco and it would be handled so quickly and shortly. But the one thing I really did like is at the end when Mary Margaret tells Charming what's going on.
Yeah. I loved that moment.
That was
probably the best nice.
And he keeps believing in her, which is very charming. But I think it might be what will save her in the end. It's like she might be giving up on herself, but you always need that Jedi that keeps believing in you.
Telling you makes things real, and I was trying to believe it wasn't real.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that what we? I mean, anyway, okay. I would say that's something you always say. As I was gonna say, like confession, having to say it out loud makes it very real.
True.
Any 12-step program, same thing. If you go to AA or NA, you have to get up and tell your story. You have to admit what you've done. You have to take responsibility for it.
Yes. Yeah. And is Snow already at that point, or is she just hoping for it that because August clearly does something. By the way, very. Analogous to what happens in the Pinocchio story, where you know Pinocchio basically is ready to die to save his father, and here you get the kind of the same self-sacrifice, and that in the end saves him, and he's turned into a boy.
Yeah, I hated that.
It was a writer trick.
I really liked Eon Bailey. That's how he called, right? The actor.
Yeah, the actor.
And I had kind of secret hope that we would they would expand his story and that we would see him more.
The thing is,
they just killed him off. Basically,
I understand, but the Bale has kind of taken his place, right? He's the same kind of gruffy, scruffy looking nerf herder
you
type.
You could only have one of those at a time.
I think so. It was getting confusing. It's like two guys who didn't shave for a week. It's too much.
We had also had the Huntsman.
Well, but he left at the same time that August came, remember?
Oh, man.
Yep.
Yeah, well, basically, Charming is the only leading guy who shaves, right?
Right. He has to.
And he tucks his shirts in. He's all proper. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I thought it was a very kind of romantic notion, you know, at the very end that Geppetto and Pinocchio get to start over.
Yeah.
You know, he gets to wipe the slate clean.
That's
all
it.
Of that.
That's it.
You know, fix it. All that he had to grow up too fast and didn't have a father, you know, while he was here in real world. And so it was a very romantic notion and nice. But I mourn the loss of the.
Yes. But symbolically, I like it because he's a boy again. So literally, it's a new start. It's a second chance that Snow White talks about. So he becomes a child again. It's very kind of analogous to confession, where basically, if you go to confession, you're being restored to the state you were in when you were just baptized. And so you become like a child again. So in that way, I mean, it combines probably a very convenient way to get rid of the actor and it's just make create less confusion.
A way for the writers to keep Pinocchio on the show in some form, it redeem him, and yet he's not able to identify Tamara and her actions.
Yeah, that was necessary.
Yeah. It's a
protect her.
And he's safe. He's safe
not
now.
The first time that we've seen this suggested in the show, because when in Manhattan. Rumpel offered to repair things for Bay, and his idea of repairing things was to go back to Storybook,
yes.
There's Magic, and turn him into a 14-year-old.
Just reset.
The age when all the terrible things in their life started, as if they could reset it.
Yeah. So anyway,
well,
he's no longer a threat.
On Twitter, a lot of people hated it. That's why I brought it up as well, because there was lots of flack for writers for doing this. I do understand why they did it, though, but...
Yeah. So
you're not going to please everybody all the time.
There was another thing that I kind of liked in the way that they were resolving some tension here. Now that we know that Tamara is evil, Emma and Bill can really get together. And you see how young Henry reacts to Bill. And he's like, you're really my father and I love you. But then you want, of course, that little family to get together somehow. But since we knew that there was Tamara, it's like, that's not going to happen. That's tragic. But now, conveniently, now that we know that Tamara is just, you know, playing people, she will be destroyed.
August brought that up. Remember when he's having that conversation with Mary Margaret? He says, Emma and Neil, they're back together again? And she says, no, he's engaged to somebody in New York. He's like, I was hoping.
Yeah.
And that's stops. Like, there was something else he wanted to say.
True.
So definitely August knows something about Emma and Neil that needs to happen. And I'm convinced he wrote the book, the Once Upon a Time book. And I think we'll still see the actor in flashback episode
time. Yeah, which by the way, was brought back into the story. I remember we discussed this last week. It's like, where's the book? And well, here it is. Boom. Just go read it. And no, you keep it, you know. That was interesting. Because we haven't seen that book for a long, long time.
And now all of a sudden, here it is.
Inge, you wanted to bring up Emma's discussion with Henry where she promised never to lie again.
Yeah, because I noticed this somewhere unconsciously, but I read also on a fan site who analyzed it, that the colors of Emma's wardrobe are changing.
Okay.
When we first met her, she was wearing this bright red, bright colors. Now she's the cute, and later episodes in this season, it muted, so it became kind of purplish, darker red, and now she's wearing black, white, and the colors of her wardrobe are getting similar to Regina's colors. And in this dialogue, she makes Henry promise not to push her back, what she says is, I'm sorry I lied to you about Neil, and I promise never to lie again, but you don't push me back like he did with Regina. So is this kind of a prefiguration that Emma's going dark as well?
I don't know. I haven't seen any sign of that. They're certainly not making that very clear if they are planning that.
Well, yeah, but also her boots and everything. So she wears tall boots. She wears black, white, and red. So it's a very piratey look. So I was wondering, so because of Tamara and Bale, because Bale doesn't know about Greg, obviously, that Hook maybe tries to hook up on Emma.
I was just thinking the same thing when you were talking about pirate look. There was definitely some on-camera spark between Emma and Hook during the whole Beanstalk episode, and that there was a lot of flirtation. And you know, I could see them setting it up where, as long as she thinks that Neil is with Tamara, she feels open to explore other relationships or give in to flirtation or interest in somebody else to a point. So I could see them going on a Hook triangle.
Interesting.
And then, of course, Neil gets confronted with it, and then he needs to do some self-searching.
He needs to step up.
Yeah, if he's really, jealous about that, then maybe he's not his love for Tamara.
But you know what's going to happen. If this follows classic structure, then Tamara at one point is going to try to kill Bale, and then Emma has to save him, and then all is good, and we have a happy ending. That's what needs to happen. you heard it here first. I like the little details, like when the curse is broken, I'll send you a postcard. We finally get that on record.
That was such a great scene.
It was cool.
and I know they set it up just to show that Tamara followed August, and that she set up bumping into Neil and attaching herself to him, that they were connected and connected to the magic in some way. But I loved the way that little dialogue, you know, I know she's back in Storybrook, so I got to get her to go break the curse so I can, you know, not turn to wood. Well, my dad's going to remember. He's going to come find it. Well, but the flip side, you get to see Emma. Okay, well, I'll see you later.
Exactly. Well, it was a cute scene to know that they stayed in touch, and I liked that.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. What about Tamara's clothing choices? If she was wearing bright orange, is that a symbol of something, or...
Orange is a color we do not see very often on Once Upon a Time.
Like,
we see reds, greens, blue, black, white, and different shades of gray.
Yeah.
Pink, but never orange. So that was an interesting choice.
Definitely. The coffee was gross, and then the solution was like, yeah, right. I'm just going to give you this scarf, like this green thing, and it will totally hide the big, like, what is it, gallon of coffee that you just spilled on you.
Well, I thought it was funny. I'm like, what? I mean, that he was wearing a scarf that just happened to look good with her outfit, really?
it looked like a very, like a guy solution.
It was fake.
I mean, like, yeah, that one I wouldn't have had any, I wouldn't have noticed, but.
I just thought it was unusual.
It didn't look like any scarves I see most men wearing.
You can see the writer sitting around the table going, how do we get these two to meet? How do we make it, you know, that she set it up and that they, you know, he called her back or she called him. So,
well, she could have just dropped her phone and just say, why buy the coffee? I don't know.
Drop the phone and the coffee.
They did it in, what was that movie? Notting Hill. Hugh Grant character runs into Julia Roberts and spills the orange juice. And it's, oh my goodness. It's... I think when men spill something on a woman, they feel a little more responsible. They feel, oh, we've messed up your beautiful appearance.
We have to
make amends in some way. If she just dropped her phone, he might not even, in New York, he might not even bend down and pick it up.
Yeah. Well, he'd pick it up and walk away with it.
She had to come up with a way that he was going to notice her, look at her, and then want to help her in some way.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Okay. All right. I got one last clip, and then we're going to wrap it up here.
Right here. Sorry, I'm late. It's been a heck of a day. I don't have much time. Neil's in the shower. I only have a few minutes.
Then let's not waste them.
We go. We know that Tamara is
her. Was that the sound of them kissing?
Say again?
Was that the sound of them kissing?
I don't know what it was. Yeah.
That was so gross. I'm sorry. Boom. There was no frontline chemistry at all with these
two. I didn't edit it out. Sorry.
No, that's okay. It just dawned on me. That's one of those ew moments, you know, where you're just like, I don't see that.
Well,
my whole family
she's
all
evil.
Went, ew.
Anyway, it's going to be very interesting to see who she is and when that will be revealed. But I'm liking this episode. That wraps it up for today's episode of The Secrets of Once Upon a Time. Well, as you have heard us say, it's going to be a while for a new episode to appear. So just bear with us. Stay subscribed. That's the advantage of podcasting. When there is a new episode, it will automatically show up on your device. But thanks to our panel members, Shelley, David, Lisa, and Inge, for joining us today. Keep following us and go to sqpn.com/donate if you want to help out with the finances. Thank you so much for listening, and see you soon.
SQPN, leading the way in Catholic new media.